Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging. Hello, everyone, and welcome to CeroBoost, the Happiness Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We are champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Lu Ngo, coming to your ears from NARM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's learn together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to CeroBoost, the show where we talk about all things happiness and how we can boost our happiness with science. Today, I'm in the virtual studio with Ellie, and I'm really excited to talk about today's topic. It's a very big topic. It is the power of belief, how self-efficacy can boost your happiness. I don't know about you, but I really could use some self-efficacy right now, and I'm really keen to learn from Ellie today. So just by way of introduction, today in the studio, we have Ellie Schollenberger, MBA, MA. She is the first certified feed-forward instructor in the US. And it was, in fact, my first time hearing about this terminology, feed-forward instructor. It's actually quite interesting. And Ellie said most of them are actually in Japan, and Ellie was the first one in the US. So this is like a really interesting concept. Ellie, if you would like, you can talk a bit more about this. But as always, I love to introduce my guest and then get them to talk a bit more about themselves. So, you know, the audience can get to know you a bit better and especially get to know your journey a bit better. So Ellie, it'll be great if you can introduce yourself. Thanks so much for being here. How was your journey like? And, you know, like, how did you get here in your line of work and chose to do the work that you're doing? Because it sounds so fascinating to me.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, I'm so excited to be here to get this opportunity. So I came to the US 27 years ago, and yeah, just a quiet journey, but, you know, I was in California, San Jose, you know, just with the life, you know, life changes, went to, Austin and then came to the, Dallas area, and it's been like 16 years. And I, you know, worked for several companies. Right now, I'm with the IT, a Japanese company supporting a customer is an automotive company. And, you know, we, by doing that, I started working with the teams and individuals at work and to try to give courage and confidence, you know, when we are doing the project. So, with that, I came across this method and goal vision and a feed forward. And recently, I became a certified feed forward instructor. And as Lou introduced, I am the first and only certified feed forward instructor in the US. So feed forward is, you know, I'm going to talk maybe throughout this, you know, today's interview, but feed forward is the method that we can make people to look in the future. Many people can, you know, easy to stuck with the present and then in the past, you know, but so they cannot move on. But there's a technique and a good way to be able to see the future. And that's very simple and easy. So, you know, I can introduce that today.
Awesome. I think it's such a big word, you know, and especially the topic of today as well. Self-efficacy is something that we've never talked on this show. We never talked about on this show, and we've never really discussed it outside of the context of, you know, like I would say in general, I have never talked to my friends about self-efficacy either. So it's going to be a learning curve for me today, and I'm excited to learn from you. But before we do that, we have a section called Have You Met Ellie? So we'd get to some of your recommendations and get to know you a bit better. My first question, my favorite of all time to add to my reading list is, what is a book you would recommend?
Okay, so I have, say, let me give the recommendation, one from my personal experience and then one is more professional. So my lifetime favorite is this The Little Prince. This is a French author's, it's children's book. But I had this book when I was a child, and then it has a little boy. This is, you know, a prince in a star, and then he goes to different planets. But even though this is children's book, it's very sophisticated, and then it's magical. It's really, it talks about some loneliness or relationship, or it's very, very profound. So I really love this book. So I recommend that. And from the professional standpoint and also self-development, the books I recommend is this three set, which is I'm learning, and then this is the base of my feed forward methodology, you know, that I learned from Mr. Hisano. So one is a CEO coaching. These are all Japanese though. So one is a CEO coaching, one is Gold Vision, and then the third one is feed forward. And CEO coaching is just CEO, chief executive officer, but this is not only for CEO, this is for everyone. So CEO coaching, Gold Vision, these three feed forward are Japanese, but actually we have English version. CEO coaching is English. And then, sorry, I have a lot of tabs. And then also Gold Vision is a new one. It came up, a few months ago. So these are available in English and a very, very good book. And then Feed Forward, this one is the one actually I am currently translating into English. So we are targeting to be available sometime later this year, hopefully. So that's something like I'm working on too.
Wow, that's amazing. And I just love that you have so many notes, all these like sticky notes out of your book for the audience that is probably listening to this and not watching the actual YouTube video. I highly recommend you check out the YouTube video version, because she has so many sticky notes out of the book. It's amazing. I love it when people take notes when they read, it's like active reading. It's not like, I'm just reading. It's more like I'm actively doing work. So yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. So the reason I have this tab is actually I have a group of people from this feed forward, and in those while I'm learning. So Gold Vision members. So one of the group is Mirai No Lab, which is a nonprofit organization. We just established. Just recently make it official. So within this Merino Lab, we have some members voluntarily kind of form and then do the study group kind of. So we have a book club kind of. So every week we gather and then pick one book or from Gold Vision and that what we learning. So we kind of study and then learn and for those techniques and also apply to our own life. So we do that kind of activities too.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. I love that you're translating the books yourself. It's going to be like a really fun experience. Not only are you taking notes and discussing it with others, you're also translating the book. It's like a fun experience. Actually makes me wonder if I could translate one of the books one of these days. That'll be really fun. It'll be a lot of hard work, but it'll be fun as well.
Yes.
So that's the first question. The second question is, what is your favorite movie or a movie you would recommend to our audience?
Yeah, so the movie is, generally I'm in the US, so I watch a Hollywood movie. And of course it's, actor and actress are very famous, but entertainment. But basically, because many movies are like a very dream and then American dream and dreams come true. So give a courage and then very fun, very positive. So in that term, I love those movies. And one of the movies I recently watched was Mark and Rita. And this is, I don't explain the story, but there is a young female writer, maybe to be, and she doesn't fit in the kind of regular society, like, you know, fancy girls and stuff. So she was grandmother's girl. And one day she kind of turned, because she wanted to be like my, you know, her grandma. So one day she turned into like older lady. And then older lady is played by Diane Keaton. And it's just Diane Keaton in that movie was so charming, because she is technically, she's, I don't know the age, but maybe 70 or whatever, older age. But she was so charming. And then that tells me, and I feel like I want to age like that, you know, when you get older, more open and freely express and then be yourself. So that was a very good movie for me. So I recommend that. Yeah. And another one is more from documentary. I watched Bethany Hamilton. And she is the surfer, professional surfer, but you know, but she lost her, you know, her arm, her left arm, from the shark attack when she was a child. But she never gave up, and then she went back to, you know, surfing, and then she, you know, did a competition and all kinds of life. So it was amazing journey to understand, you know, to know Bethany's life. So that gave me the courage. Then I think she wasn't competing in a different division. It's like how do you say, Paralympic, or, you know, kind of not the separate division, but I think she tried the regular competition. So that was amazing. So that's one of the movie that I recommend.
Wow, that's really inspiring. And thank you for sharing not just one, but two recommendations. And just like the previous part, we asked for one, you got us multiple. I really love that when our guests are this generous. Next question is, what is your favorite podcast or a podcast you would recommend?
So this is this podcast. I have a few, you know, like a TED Talk or, you know, some other podcast. But the one I listen to every day and every week, you know, every episode is, it's in Japanese, but that's Mr. Hisano's CEO Coaching. He has a podcast, and he is like listening to his lecture, or, you know, you're learning for free his coaching, you know. So this is something like, if you are, you know, can you speak Japanese or, you know, understand Japanese, I think that's a really good podcast to subscribe. And, you know, he is trying to maybe start in English. And also I think myself that I want to start something, you know, the podcast, something like the English. So, you know, so more people can know about this technique and then feed forward.
Yeah. Wow. You really love the technique. You keep talking about it. And I'm feeling really inspired that you're so passionate about it. So thanks for that. And I'm guessing I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask anyway. Who's your famous role model?
So yes, you know, among the there are many famous people, and that's also, of course, always. But maybe just I can touch up. I really didn't think about who is the role model when I was young, and the reason is I am the oldest of the five siblings, and then I myself to be the kind of role model or something, right? So I didn't really have a chance to kind of follow someone. But now, you know, I'm learning this world vision and under, I think my Mr. Hisano, I look up to, and I want to be the leader. Like, you know, different is that, you know, he believes in you 100%. And then that anyone like leader, you have to trust and you have to believe in, the people. So that gives confidence to the others. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. I love that. Yeah. I love trusting my team as well. And I really love that you mentioned that, you know, we, as leaders, we really, really need to trust our team and inspire them and allow them the space to do better and to push forward. So that's beautiful. And we'll talk about that in a little bit very soon. Final question for you on this, in this section and on this topic is, what is a course you've completed that you really love and you would like to talk about today?
So, okay, so maybe it's kind of repeating, but since, you know, I became a certified field forward instructor, there was a series of course, starting with Gold Vision and also feed forward method. And I had to take this course and exam and stuff. So that was the latest course that I took. And I'm so happy about that. I did that. I made that decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm not surprised, but it's a really, really good answer because, you know, you're showing up really consistently as someone who's so passionate about what you're doing and you love the training that you were provided. And I think, you know, I really want to say as well, like, I want to one day be able to say so much about a certain course or something that I'm so passionate about. And this is what we're building at LMSL. So I hope I'm going to be able to say that one day, very soon. So now let's talk about the power of belief and self-efficacy and happiness. You know, it's a very broad yet also really niche and unique topic. Let's start with happiness. So all of our guests on the show, each of them have a very different definition of happiness. So to you, Ellie, what does happiness mean?
Yes, so for me, happiness is to be true to yourself, just, you know, be yourself. And that's, you know, I think ultimately that's what I think. The reason why I became to this is like, you know, of course I went through a lot of different in life, you know, changes and stuff, right? So, and I realized recently, actually myself, that even though I thought, you know, I came to the U.S., because I wanted to, and then I planned it, and I stayed it, and then I went through a different in life stages. That was my choice. And then I worked for, you know, some different companies, and I chose this profession. But then, you know, some part, I think I wasn't really true to myself, and after I realized that, I started to be honest about what I really want when I have to make a decision or to, you know, if I'm given, you know, several choices, then instead of thinking, then this is, instead of choosing because I think it's better or maybe effective, but it's more about follow my heart. So happiness is something to be able to be yourself and be able to express yourself. So, you know, follow your heart. That's the word I like.
Yeah, I relate with that a lot. You know, I think to me as well, parts of my happiness really is, you know, when I feel the happiest, I'm living my true self and I'm speaking my truth. I'm living my truth and really not hiding or running away from anything. And I think it's a tough thing to think about as well, because sometimes you have to face the music, right? You're like, I'm not doing what I know would be good for me.
Yeah.
Something will have to change, for example. That's also hard. And I think the change part is hard because a lot of us don't really see it. We don't see that we have to change. And it might be related to the topic, but it's also related to my next question, which is also something we ask all the time on this show. Because happiness is such a broad thing and each person sees it differently. You might notice from people that you work with, you know, especially because I know you work with a lot of business leaders, there might be misconceptions when it comes to happiness. Because, you know, the more successful people are, you know, on the business front or on the professional front, sometimes their overall level of happiness might be imbalanced. And so my question to you would be, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that you've noticed in people, you know, in your line of work? It could be through your research, your reading, or actually in observation, you know, in actual life circumstances.
So yeah, misconception is, so to the happiness, many people depend, many people's happiness, they measure their happiness based on something else or somebody else, and without realizing it. For example, I think the common thing is like money. You know, like if you have more money and then live bigger house, and then you must be happy, or I live in smaller house and then I, you know, I'm not happy, or something like that. Or you know, I had a good time in the past, but you know, I'm not successful right now, so I'm not happy. You know, you judge your happiness with the past, and you know, that's also, and you know, and then someone said, "Okay, you are not good," or say my supervisor said, "Oh, you failed, and you couldn't do that, you know, better, and you could have done, you know, do better." And so I feel like I'm inferior or something like that. So I'm not happy. But so many people misunderstand and get wrong the happiness, and happiness depending on somebody or something else, you know, as a standard. So that's something that you want to realize and then notice that it's okay. It's not that somebody says something, then that's their opinion, evaluation. You yourself has your own evaluation. You yourself is just fine.
Yeah, that is so true. I think it's a very big one that a lot of our guests have pointed out. You know, the first one you talked about, you know, finance and money and things like that, and I think I mentioned this on the show as well. I took a course not long ago, the free, you know, science of happiness as a science of well-being course. And it talked about this. So, you know, we thought that when we have more money, you know, our well-being will be improved, we'll be happier, but actually no, right. you get more money and then you hit a certain point and then that's it.
Like,
even if you earn so much more, the increase you get, the boost you get out of that wouldn't be as big. So yes. It's not as linear. And I think when it comes to, you know, feeling inferior, I think the sense of self-worth is super important, right? Uh-huh. And today, as I said, this is the first time that I'm talking to anyone about self-efficacy. Mm-hmm. And I think the sense of self-worth, it's closely related to self-efficacy. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as I understand this concept, but obviously you're the expert, so I would love to hear from you. Let's talk about self-efficacy now. And I would love for you to help us to define it, to understand it. What is it exactly? And how can we get a strong sense of self-efficacy to boost our happiness?
So yeah, self-efficacy is, as a definition, is like your own estimation of your ability. So it's like your confidence, but it's the ability to produce the desired result in the future. So in the future, meaning not now or not the past, but you know, what you want, what, you know, happiness you want, that's, you know, you, how much, you know, you can get it, you know, your confidence level. So this, you know, this is the drive to move you to the future. And then, giving you the power to, you know, persist regardless of it, all the obstacle you can, you know, go over, and then learn new things that, you know, gives you a lot of power, energy. So believe confidently, and then sincerely, you know, you believe that you can do it. So the important thing is, key is to that you can believe yourself confidently and then sincerely from the bottom of your heart.
Yeah. I think it's such a hard thing to achieve, though, because self-doubt can creep in, right? Especially if your sense of self-worth has been affected by some sort of circumstance or you're constantly dragged down by people around you. It's actually quite hard. And I think it's got to come from within. Just like you said, it comes from yourself and nobody else, because it's self-efficacy. But I think since it's such a hard thing to navigate, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that can hold people back. And then we look into solutions, into how this can be changed and how we can boost our happiness through understanding it. Right. So what would be some of the most common beliefs or mindsets that would hold people back from reaching their full potential? Because we're talking about self-belief, right? Self-efficacy. Right. When you believe in yourself, you can achieve so many things, but self-doubt creeps in. You know, like there are certain things that are in your mind all the time that will hold you back. What are some of the key ones that you've noticed?
So I have to, you know, talk about the comfort zone in that sense. So mindset and beliefs. So because, you know, when you're in, you know, you can guess the meaning of comfort zone, right? So comfort zone is where you are when you feel comfortable. You know, because you get used to anything that you do, your people, what you know, so everything is comfortable. So something like if you are at work, you know, probably you are new, so you are not really comfortable, but after a while you get used to and then people and then just became comfortable. So when you are in the comfort zone, then once you are in, you don't want to get out normally. And then that prevents you to reach to your full potential. Because comfort zone is where you know things. Then this is established because you put, you know, those are the important things for the current you. And one of the you know, function that a human being has, that is a brain has, is a reticular activating system. It's more of a little bit more psychological term, but you know, RAS has a filter. It's like a filtering feature to let the important information in you, and then the not important information just, you know, pass by. So that meaning comfort zone is built with something that you choose that you know already. But there are so many things that you don't know outside of this comfort zone. And then that's the potential. And then you want to go out of this comfort zone to look for your potential so that you have more room to grow. Yeah.
Yeah. The other day I was actually talking with one of our podcast guests, and we were talking about the comfort zone, and we talked about stretching our comfort zone because, you know, it's not about like stepping outside of that straight away. I saw a video by Dr. Julie Smith, and she is, you know, she wrote the book, Why Has Nobody Told Me This Before? And she was explaining the stretch zone. Mm-hmm. And I really relate with that because it's like, you know, it's so hard for you to just do something dramatic and like jump out of that. You know, let's say this is your comfort zone. If you jump straight out of that, you might actually get into your panic zone, which is this red zone outside of it. But if you know, constantly practice and stretch it little by little, like for example, I hate talking to strangers, but you know, if I, you know, find a way to talk to someone, in a mall, that is already like stretching my comfort zone. And then, you know, essentially I can, you know, talk to someone on the street or at an event without feeling like, oh my God, like I'm jumping out of my skin. Like I hate it. So, you know, like I like that concept of like stretching the comfort zone. And I like that you've mentioned that. But I think with this concept and this conversation, we're really talking about, you know, self-efficacy and the things that we believe in, right? So it's not just the comfort zone, but it's also, I think, a limiting belief as well. Because most of the time, I hear this quite a bit, and I'm sure you would agree, a lot of people have limiting beliefs about themselves, about the situation, about the world, could be anything. But since we're talking about self-efficacy, let's talk about ourselves. I was reminded by someone a long time ago that, you know, if you think that you cannot do something, or if you think that something is too hard, it's just yourself, it's just your limiting beliefs telling you that it's not possible.
Right.
It's, this is really funny because this go way back, like back in the day when I was doing a casual job for fundraising, actually fundraising for UNICEF. And there was like in the training, this is what I picked up. I really love that because we needed to talk to people to raise funds to help children. But it's really hard to stop people and talk to them. And I was kind of like, I had doubts about it as well, because I was like, who would stop to talk to you when they're so busy walking on the street, right?
Right.
And the lady who was doing learning and development and who's doing training for us, she was saying, that is just your limiting beliefs.
Uh-huh.
If you change that, people will stop for you and you'll notice the people that actually stop. Sure, you know, maybe five people won't stop. The sixth person might actually stop to find out what it is that you're doing, even just to strike a conversation. And then you'll get more people to come talk to you. And I know it's kind of like a combination of training and doing a little bit of sales, but through that process, I actually learned so much more about limiting beliefs. And I think that is actually one of the things that stop us in life. Because after that training, I realized, you know what? It doesn't just apply to fundraising. It applies to other aspects in life as well. For example, if I'm telling myself, you know what? I'll never achieve work-life balance. It's so hard. Never going to work. Then that is my limiting belief. And I'm just going to suck myself right in there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to set boundaries. I'm not going to try to be more productive. I'm not going to look at different ways to make it work.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it really goes. It goes south, you know? So I think this is where things get really interesting, right? So I've mentioned one of those ones. So the mindset could be limiting beliefs.
Yep.
What are some other ones that you notice that people tend to have that might stop them from, you know, achieving their potential?
So that's some... Yeah, that's because you said limiting belief. So that's a you know, kind of similar. And then that reminds me that there are three items that, you know, other, you know, standards from other people: standard, money standard, and then time standard. Kind of, you know, so that that's something like it blocks you to believe that this certain things and. You know, so they're just a pattern of thinking, the thinking habit. So that's something, you know, you can, you if you change the thinking habit, then you can go and then see and something different from the different perspective. So that's also another thing that, you know, you can break through to do things.
Yeah. Mm. But how do we actually break through? Because I think that's the tough part, right? Well, identifying it is one thing, but actually working on it is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So how can we overcome that?
Okay, so, you know, when I mentioned that comfort zone, when you have a new comfort zone, which is not so comfortable for you, then you have to somehow, you have to raise self-efficacy. So because you are still, you know, your efficacy is low. That meaning because you are not used to or you are not familiar, it's uncertain, you don't have the information. So basically you want to go and get the actual information and then increase the sense of reality in the goal world, the next goal world. So for example, the easy way to overcome and start feeling comfortable is to say, go to a very nice hotel and online lounge, and then to experience that the higher level of, you know, kind of luxury place, if you are kind of living in the current, you know, kind of regular standard life. But if you want to move to next level of lifestyle, and then you go to that hotel and experience that, or maybe, you know, buy a first class flight ticket and then experience that flight. Or... something like that, you know, have a dinner at a very fancy restaurant and have a open expensive champagne or something like that. So try something totally new and something you feel uncomfortable. Maybe you feel uncomfortable at first, but if you repeat it, and then it will become the norm for you. and then you feel the space will become more, you know, comfortable for you. So this way, you know, you can break out that your feeling, and then you can move to the next level of comfort zone.
Yeah, I think that's the good one to recommend, but it's got to work with each person's financial situation, for example, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have the means to do that, I think we can look at different ways. Like, you know, because if you're saying, let's, you know, if you want to buy a first class plane ticket, if you're lucky enough to do that, great. But if you're not in the situation where you can do that, I think trying something different that is within your means would mm-hmm. actually be really right, good right. as well, right?
Yes.
So yeah, I think, as I said earlier, I really like that, you know, like if you're, for example, uncomfortable talking to new people, maybe go to an event where it's a smaller scale first before going to a bigger event. So, you know, maybe events can be free, so then you don't have to spend any money if you're kind of like on a tight budget. So yeah, I think it depends on the area that you work on as well, you know, in terms of what it is. Maybe for people that are just like really like don't spend any money and they want to start spending money, that'll be a good place to start.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that was maybe more of a, you know, money side, but you can change the people. I mean, change the people meaning just, you know, you go out and look for a different group of people that you want it to be, you know, you want to associate with, or maybe you try to meet the people from the group or the target group that you want to be. So that's also one more thing that, you know, doesn't cost much, I think, you know, if you try to look for those groups. So, you know, if you want to do some volunteer or, you know, social contribution, then you can find a local volunteer group to join and then start doing something, you know, good to the society. And then that gives you a confidence and, you know, that's a, you know, sense of reality that you are being involved. So that's also another way to do that.
Yeah, wonderful. So we've talked about people in general with their, you know, beliefs and mindsets that hold them back and a few strategies they can try. Now let's talk about business leaders, because from our research and from your background, you're also a business leader yourself. So, you know, what role does self-efficacy play in the success of teams and organizations?
Yeah, so self-efficacy is not only for individuals, and we call it collective efficacy. So the there is an efficacy for a group as well. So for the collective efficacy, you know, work for the team or in the organization too. But first, you know, the important thing is that your organization's goals, team's goals, and the individual goals must align first. And then once you have those kind of aligned goals, then, you know, just baseline is now, you know, like we are going to the same direction. So the power or energy of the vector going to the same direction. So without aligning that goal, you know, somehow, you know, that's that energy dispersed and then, you know, spread over. So that's why that energy doesn't collect. So when, you know, each member's self-efficacy is high, then if you gather those efficacy, high efficacy people, then the entire team can perform, you know, because the entire team's efficacy is naturally high, gets high. So when they work, you know, project together, then, you know, they have a positive attitude and a more of a soul, you know, solution, you know, try to solve attitude instead of, you know, oh, I can do that kind of thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is a very important thing that I've noticed quite a bit with different organizations. And, you know, like even my friends talk about it when they work in their team as well, right? When there's a strong sense of belief in what the team can achieve, they make it happen. But it's also a matter of, you know, like, for example, the culture of the organization, the leadership style, and, you know, the understanding of the business leaders themselves. So it's actually easier said than done. So what are some of your recommendations for both business leaders and team members to actually have this and build this sense of self-efficacy for the team?
In order to build the self-efficacy for the both individual and team?
Yeah,
so, you know, I think to have the good culture, organization should cultivate a good culture to support that such a high collective efficacy environment. Because some company just may not have the good culture. Culture meaning like more of a acceptive kind of base or some positive culture. So if that's the case, then the employees or, you know, the team members, naturally they don't feel like the, you know, good place to work, or some, you know, basically that decreases your self-efficacy, you know, lower their confidence. For example, like, I don't know, the, you know, management style is, if it's like very strict and then, you know, it's more of a controlling kind of culture, then that's kind of less possible for individuals to feel, you know, you're valuable, and the performance level may not, you know, flourish that way. So to have a good and open and, you know, open mind and open atmosphere, and then more easy to kind of speak up and express their opinion, those culture is very important to have for the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also a matter of the people in the organization as well, right? We can all do our part. And that's the beautiful thing about collaboration, because sometimes things don't go well. Sometimes things aren't great, but it doesn't mean things cannot change. And I think that is also, it comes from the individual. It's kind of hard to navigate, especially if you're under a lot of pressure. The last thing you want is to try. But it's so important that we all have this within ourselves, because organizations are made up of individuals. So I think the last question I want to ask you on this topic would be about the individuals. So we've talked about the importance of, you know, building this sense of self-efficacy, but for the individual themselves, and this can be applied to both professional life and personal life, right? How can they do this how can each of us do this for ourselves? What would be some of the practical strategies and tools that individuals can use to build this sense of self-efficacy and confidence? Because challenges happen in lives, right? Things might change, or, you know, like, they might not feel like it sometimes. And we mentioned a whole heaps of other kinds of challenges previously. So what are some of your recommendations?
So individual level, for me, like for the leaders, I think I usually do, when I lead the team, I try to understand the team's members' characteristics and their strengths, because each one person different. So if, you know, by knowing their weakness, each member's weakness and strengths, then so that I can, you know, see the potential. Then, if, you know, I find someone may have the problem, you know, with his or her self-efficacy, then I try to work on that together. So I use, you know, feed-forward method to try to pull them out to see the future, or future meaning, you know, what they can do to solve this, or have them think about it, and then when they find the idea, then they feel that's their idea, so they can build their confidence to move on to the next, you know, action. So that's something that I can do for them too.
Yeah. And what about the individual themselves? I think if it's important for the leaders to understand their strengths and weaknesses to work on themselves, then the individuals need to do the work themselves too, right? Understanding their own strengths and weaknesses and work on that.
So yeah, individual level, if you need to increase the self-efficacy, you know, you need to realize that, you know, it's okay to be yourself and, you know, don't compare themselves with anything else or anybody else. You know, and sometimes what I do in the past is like when, you know, I say at work, then and if the things doesn't go well, then I put some, like, you know, write down a note or something that reminds you yourself to that, you know, it's okay to, then kind of encourage myself to, those words, you know, I have that and then I put in front of me and then kind of look, you know, every time I feel like down or self-efficacy gets kind of lower, then I look at that. So each one can use that kind of, you know, technique or quick, you know, notes to help themselves to kind of, you know, regain your self-efficacy.
Yeah. Really good tips and strategies. So now let's get a bit more practical, because, you know, you've mentioned some things that both organizations and individuals can try. And today we're talking about the happiness level of each individual. So let's ground us and talk about something practical. I would like to know from your perspective, because obviously you've done a lot of work on this yourself. So what is a practice that you use yourself to improve your self-efficacy and boost your happiness?
Okay, so I use, so my practice I use to improve my self-efficacy. So I use a few things, you know, on a daily basis. So with a goal, vision, and a feed forward, there are a few things that I use daily. And one is a balance wheel, which is my goals. You know, balance wheel is the sheet. There's 8 sections, you know, divided, and then each one has important items among your life. Something like family, or work, or learning, or health. That's kind of 8 items, and then each of them. You know, you put the goals. How do you want it to be? You know, by putting that goals, you know what you want, and then you, you know, work towards. And then once you have that, you know, you kind of start thinking that, you know, what you need to do to make that happen. So that's a balance wheel. Another one is like a self-talk, actually, self-talk. Self-talk is something comes up, you know, unconsciously, just, you know, comes up, you know, from your brain that every day, you know, you are thinking something, and it's a, you know, I write down those self-talk. So it's something like, you know, when you are doing something, it's like two hours or so, if you monitor that, you know, what you are thinking, it comes. So something like, I didn't prepare for tomorrow test. Am I going to do better? I need to go out and do some errands. and I need kind of those thinking, you know, comes, you know, and go. So you write down those self-talk and you kind of observed, and after, you know, you listed up, you analyze that and you notice that, okay, how much your negative self-talk you had, and you kind of rewrite those self-talk to the positive one. And then once you have, you know, you put into the positive one, and that kind of turned into like an affirmation. So you create positive words, positive sentences, and then what you want to do, what you want to do. And that repeats, you know, during the day or in the morning or at night. So that kind of gives you kind of unconscious, that's work on your unconsciousness to build a more strong feeling of that, you know, achieved state. So those are the one I'm using.
Yeah. Well, instead of giving us just one, you gave us two. That's even better. So I wonder how you feel after you do these practices. How do they affect your, you know, level of happiness and especially your perception in life?
Yeah. So that's actually powerful. That's actually powerful because I use that, for example, like self-talk rewrite and affirmation. After you repeat or do several times, then that new concept, a new new goal, a new state is kind of became more natural. So I feel more confident, and then that's something like I don't, kind of less worries, because it's, you know, you set some like achieved goal already. So that's it's really effective.
And how about your level of happiness?
My level of happiness by doing this?
So
my level of happiness, you know, it will increase, much, much more happy, because this self, you know, self-efficacy increases, so that there's a, you know, before, so the goal is like, you know, higher goal before I had, and then my self-efficacy was here, you know, lower, but because of this work, you know, you increase your self-efficacy to the higher level to reach the goal. So I feel like, you know, I think it's more about, you know, level, happiness level goes up and close to that goal. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. I think it's a little motivation that everyone would need to try these practices. I think they are actually quite interesting. I will definitely think about when I can incorporate that into my day. So when do you actually do this in the day? You know, when do you find time and make time for it?
So feel forward, or I can do that anytime. I mean, that's because it's basically, it's a question. So, you know, what you're going to do next is the question that you ask. So every time if I, you know, need to think about, then that's many time you can do. Like affirmation, or, you know, something like in the morning, you know, when you wake up, then you can, you know, before you start, you know, you can do this affirmation to remind you that what you're going to, you know, do that today. So that's also. The time, you know, there is no, you know, busy is a kind of excuse that, you know, you can say. So you should make the time, and you should be able to make the time.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. So now let's go to some of our audience questions. We've got a couple of questions submitted by our audience. And I find that we've covered some of that already. But there's an interesting question that we can probably dissect a bit more. So the question goes, how can we defend ourselves against others' words that could hurt our self-efficacy?
Yeah, that's a tough question, and I understand that. Yeah, defending is, tough. So it's a situation. So just assuming that, I assume that that's something, say, work situation, and, kind of people try to kind of put you down kind of comment, I think. Right.
It could be anything. I think this question is quite broad because, it could be a professional thing, could be a personal thing even. Right. Because, you get random comments from people throughout the day. You don't know what's going to happen or, what kind of comments would come to you. So, yeah, I think it can be any situation.
Defend you when they do that, you cannot defend on the spot. Of course, maybe you might say like, no, I'm not that bad, or probably, you might want to say, but once somebody, did that, kind of it happens, so it remains within you. So I think the important thing is after you receive that, how you handle that is the important part. So that's the thinking that you have to, separate that is that person's opinion. And then you have to separate yourself and then the person, who kind of tried to, put you down, or if something that you are comparing. So after that, you handle is you just, you believe that it's okay to be yourself. That's being yourself is totally fine. So I think it's not really defending for that person, but it's more about how you handle that emotion.
That's a really good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point, because I think there's a saying, it doesn't matter what happens to you, it matters how you react to it, right? So if someone is attacking you or saying something that's hurtful, that's kind of like shaking your sense of self-worth or self-efficacy, it's up to you to decide if that is actually true. Because, right. If someone's saying, no, you cannot do it, and you internalize it, then obviously you've taken that on board. But if someone is saying, no, you cannot do it, but you think otherwise and your belief is firm, then I think that is actually a really good exercise for your mental strength, especially for your resilience too. So, yeah, I like how you put that. Yeah, really nice. Thank you so much. So we've now covered all the questions. And the last part of this would be open mic. This is your forum to talk about anything that you're passionate about. So please take it away.
Okay, so so my passion is, recently I started something new, and my friend and I started a Facebook group called Happy Challenge Cafe. This is a practice to make a small challenge to get out of, our comfort zone and be happy. So, we started that, and also we have a Happy Challenge Cafe on YouTube. And so those are in Japanese, unfortunately. So, but eventually, we want to expand our, this passion in English. Right. So, yeah. So Happy Challenge Cafe is like, to to give you the perspective of, you know, kind of courage to try something new and then to make a small, you know, challenge. And then small or big, doesn't matter. Yeah. And my friend is a, Kiko, you know, Kiko, that instructor, she is a mind, you know, kind of full, more healing, you know, side of instructor. So, you know, my feed forward and me and together. So it's going to be a very unique program. So we, you know, plan to have a workshop once a month. And, you know, we are planning to create some, you know, more programs. I'm so now excited to, you know, come up with this program, this unique program to help many people to live naturally and then be themselves and then live a happy life. So, we talked about the future plan of this Happy Challenge Group is, you know, trip to Texas to the U.S. to meet up, you know, with me and then meet up here. With the group, you know, we want to inspire and motivate people and to have the courage to take, you know, one step ahead, to challenge themselves to do a new adventure. So that's, you know, my, these days I'm really into it. And so, I also restarted the, you know, playing the music. I have been like thinking about it. I used to play music, you know, sing, and I'm playing in a, you know, small band. So, I kind of started and I'm planning to have some like music production, maybe you'll see. And, another one is maybe lastly, I want to, write of my own book, you know, someday. So, I'm, you know, certainly I can do that, you know, with a goal, vision and feed forward. So I can make that dream happen.
Ah, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think all of the things that you're doing is really aligned with your personal brand and your passion and, you know, just looking ahead and inspiring people to live happier lives. And because this show is about happiness, we're so happy to hear really appreciate your time joining us today as well. I know it's super late where you are. So thank you for being here and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you so much, Lou, for this opportunity, and I enjoyed joining this show. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Sarah Boost, the Happiness Science Insights podcast, produced by the Happiness Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes are available from 10 life management perspectives and can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, and other podcasting apps available on your devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, share, and subscribe to our channel so that other people can find it and we can continue to provide quality content. More of our work can be found on our website at ha.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Lu Ngo. Thanks for tuning in.